This is Upstate's HealthLink on Air. Linda Cohen here with you. Well, just like all the other organs of the body, our salivary glands can develop cancerous growths, as well as inflammatory and obstructive diseases that often require surgical intervention. In fact, malignant salivary gland neoplasms account for 3 to 5% of all the head and neck cancers. Well, joining us to share a new minimally invasive salivary gland surgical procedure is Dr. Mark Marzouk. He's assistant professor of otolaryngology and communication sciences and the new division chief of head and neck oncologic surgery at Upstate Medical University. Welcome, Dr. Marzouk. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
Let's start a little bit to help us understand, what are salivary gland tumors? What exactly are they?
So salivary gland tumors can be benign or malignant neoplasms. We have 3 major salivary glands in our head and neck region and about 1,000 minor salivary glands.
Wow.
Yes.
Had no idea.
Right. The major glands are the parotid glands, and this is the gland that lives in front of the ear on the cheek area. And there is a submandibular gland which lives underneath the jaw, and hence the name submandibular, and 2 sublingual glands that live underneath the tongue. These are the major glands. The minor glands are distributed through the mouth, the throat, and the voice box. Most of the tumors that grow from the parotid gland, for example, the vast majority of those are benign neoplasms. And they are fairly asymptomatic. Patients start to notice them as a growth, where they feel it when they shave, for example, if they're males, or if a friend alert the patient telling that your face is kind of different. But they grow slowly. Over time, most of the time they are asymptomatic. They mm-hmm. just show up as a mass. In the condition of malignant neoplasms, they also can present as a neoplasm, as a mass, but they, due to their malignant nature, they start to invade surrounding structures. And the most important one of those is a facial nerve. And that becomes really noticeable because the patient would have asymmetry in their face, especially when they smile or they wink, or that becomes cosmetically very noticeable problem. Another presentation is when it presents with lymph node enlargement. So the growth is not necessarily in the gland itself, but rather in lymph nodes throughout the neck.
So they might find a swelling or something on their neck.
Exactly.
Somewhere else.
So that's what we call metastatic disease.
So you can have neurologic symptoms, you can just have swell. I'm talking about with the more malignant type, neurologic symptoms if it affects the facial nerve, or you can have growths elsewhere in the body as
right.
well.
Right, and some of those are painful if they are malignant.
So what is done for them? I mean, what's generally the type of treatment that's done for these types of growths?
So for major salivary glands, as I mentioned, the parotid glands or submandibular glands, and even the sublingual glands, a primary treatment that provides the best outcome is surgery. And that can sometimes be the only treatment modality, but it can also be followed by radiation therapy or chemotherapy as well.
So again, depending on perhaps the grade or the stage and all of
that. That is correct. Primarily the pathology, so we get a biopsy first and determine what kind of tumor we're dealing with. Some patients who are not a good candidate for surgery, they can only get radiation therapy and chemotherapy in some circumstances.
What's the prognosis for those kinds of malignant tumors?
So as any other kind of malignancy, it obviously depends on the time of presentation and how late in the process we detect that tumor. As any other malignancy, if they detect it early and treat it appropriately, patients tend to do very well. But unfortunately, if they present late in the game, where they present with a metastatic disease, as I mentioned, in the lymph nodes or even in the lungs or other distant organ, the prognosis is not as good.
Are they doing, and I knew we're going to be talking a little bit more about a new procedure that you're involved with that's minimally invasive for different types of disease. But with these types of tumors, are they now doing less invasive or less open procedures to resolve these, the cancer tumors?
So the standard surgery as of now for major salivary gland tumors is an open procedure. There is no laser, for example, or any other less invasive procedures. For parotid glands, people have described a less invasive procedure in terms of the size of the incision, if you will, but that has always been described for more benign tumors, as I mentioned, which is the majority of the parotid glands, fortunately, are benign. We can use a more cosmetic incision that we use for facelift, for example. So that tend to be cosmetically be more appealing than the traditional surgery.
Is there some danger, though, with doing any kind of surgery to remove some of those tumors, of having permanent damage to the facial nerve or permanent problems following it?
Absolutely. This is the most concerning complication of parotid and submandibular gland surgery, which is the facial nerve injury. It is an inherent risk of the procedure since the facial nerve runs through the parotid gland. So in order to remove a tumor, you actually should go down to the facial nerve so you can see it and protect it, and then peel the tumor away from it. Mm-hmm. So by doing that, you're obviously putting a risk at injuring that nerve. It can be a temporary weakness, but if the nerve gets cut during surgery, that's obviously a permanent morbidity.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's Health Link on Air. I'm Linda Cohen here along with otolaryngologist Dr. Mark Marzouk, and we're talking about tumors or disorders of the salivary gland and a new treatment option. Well, there are other salivary gland problems that you can have, disorders that involve inflammation or obstructive things, and tell me what those are. And now you have a new technique that is less invasive than what we just talked about.
Right. So the other problems that major salivary gland can have is obstruction. So basically it becomes like a blooming problem, if you will. Mm-hmm. The saliva is being produced within the substance of the gland, and it gets collected through small tubes that join each other and form a large duct. And that opens into the mouth to empty the saliva inside the mouth. So sometimes this tube gets clogged with either a stone or a thick secretion. And that results in a backup of the salivary flow into the gland. And that results in enlargement of the gland. It gets swollen, it gets painful, and as any other stagnant fluid, it is a good medium for bacteria.
So inflammation.
Right. That can lead to an infection, and that becomes really painful condition and painful swelling of the gland that prompt most patients to go to their primary care doctor or even emergency room with severe painful swellings that start abruptly in a matter of hours.
Oh, okay. So it can come on very acutely.
That's right.
How is that different? If you were to have those symptoms, how is that different? Or is that part of the differential for also a tumor in that salivary gland?
Right.
In other words,
we keep always the neoplastic process on our mind all of the time because obviously you don't want to miss that. But it's very unlikely that a tumor or a neoplasm present with an acute swelling. And the other thing is with obstructive process, like a stone, the process gets recurrent. It's not one time. So sometimes they get it not as bad, stay 1 or 2 days and resolve, and then a month later or 2 months later, they get another episode of a swelling. So tumors don't usually do that.
They progressively get worse.
Right. They progress usually slowly. They don't result in acute symptoms or pain unless they are late in the process if they are malignant.
But the point is, it's part of your differential if someone were to come to you with an acute onset, still to determine whether there could be a tumor at the core of this
absolutely.
Problem.
Right. Absolutely.
But let's say absent that, and it finds out that it's basically some kind of inflammatory process or some kind of obstruction, what would you do to treat it in addition or with surgery? What would you do?
Right. So in the acute phase, you have to make the diagnosis. And this diagnosis can be clinical. It can be as simple as feeling that stone in the duct underneath the tongue or in the cheek. That way you can make the diagnosis. The most reliable way is to obtain imaging study, and that's usually a CT scan, which showed the enlargement of the gland or the swelling, and it also shows what we call a radio-opaque or a very bright concretion of stone mm-hmm. in the duct, and that
so
makes
most
the
frequently,
definite.
Is it caused by stones? Is that
is the most common cause of acute swelling in a salivary glands.
Do we know what causes these stones?
We don't know the exact etiology of that, but we do know that people who are generally dehydrated or don't drink enough water tend to have stones more than the general population.
And are those people also potentially at risk for kidney stones or other kinds of stones throughout the body?
Right. There were studies trying to link those to each other. We couldn't reach what can be scientifically significant
yeah.
Or statistically significant, that people who have these stones tend to form salivary gland stones, but it makes sense
hypothetically
that
anyway.
Way. That's right.
I don't want to run out of time. In the time we have left, tell me about this new procedure. What are its benefits? How do you do it?
Right. So this procedure is called salivary endoscopy or silendoscopy. This has been going on in Europe since the 1990s, but it didn't come to the United States till 2006. It's a minimally invasive procedure in a way that we don't make any cuts or incisions.
Wow.
We go through, as I mentioned, the tube or the duct opens into the mouth. So we find that opening. We enlarge it without incisions. We just dilate it. And we insert our camera, which is about 1 millimeter camera,
wow.
if you can imagine. It's a fairly small tube. And we have a very high resolution image on a monitor that's a high definition monitor, so you can see what's inside that tube. And once you encounter an area of narrowing, or if you counter the stone, you can introduce a wire basket, throw it, and you harvest that stone and come out without any incision.
So you basically solve the problem.
Right.
Without any cutting.
Exactly.
So what are the benefits? Obviously no cutting.
Right. Major benefit, as far as I'm concerned, is, and I always mention to my patient, it's the same story like if you have a kidney stone. Your urologist does not recommend removing a kidney if you have a stone, but rather removing it, because this kidney is function. The salivary gland is also functioning. There is no reason to take it out just because it's obstructed, if you can remove the obstruction. So it's a same-day surgery procedure. You can go home same day. There's
wow.
no incisions. There's no restrictions of your activity afterwards. It can actually be done in the office.
Yeah, so is it under general anesthesia?
Right,
or
so most of my patients who have smaller stones that can be harvested easily with the camera can be done in the office with local anesthesia, and they resume all their activities thereafter.
Well, that's amazing. This is highly specialized. Is it done locally, is it widely done?
Right. As I mentioned, it just started in the United States very recently. So there are very few numbers of centers around the country who have the expertise to perform this. So in the immediate area, I think Upstate is the only hospital in the region that provides that technology.
Well, thank you so much for coming in and sharing it with us. It's very hopeful information. Yes. My guest has been Dr. Mark Marzouk. He's Assistant Professor of Otolaryngology and Communication Sciences and the new Division Chief of Head and Neck Oncologic Surgery. I'm Linda Cohen, and you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.